Welcome to the Awake Church Podcast. At Awake, our mission is simple. Know God, take action. We pray this podcast will help you on that journey.
This is, we have a special guest today. This is Cameron Urie, and Cameron, he's got a walker today. He had a knee replacement last week, so That's major surgery, and so he's on his way. But Cameron is an amazing person. You got to meet him recently when we had a panel for missionaries. He and his wife Susie are a power couple in the spirit, and they minister throughout Iran and really everywhere where they speak Farsi. So whether that's Europe, or the broadcasts go all over the place, and Cameron is just such a gift to us, to the body of Christ as a whole, a gift to us, and I wanted him to share today as an amazing testimony as well as just what God puts on his heart, and is a man of love. And so, Cameron, it's all yours.
Good morning. Yeah, the knee replacement. Pastor Matt is so courageous to allow me to talk. You know, we had men's conference, a gathering here. I was a 10-minute speaker. I think it was a month ago. And I used to believe I'm very anointed, you know? And that night I got up here, how hard it is to share my testimony is my testimony, right? I shared my testimony so many times. I got up here, I couldn't speak. I didn't feel the anointing. I learned a lot that night. That if it's not because of him, I'm not anointed. It was him all along. And also the Lord told me that he wanted me to be introduced to Awake in weakness. And then fast forward after a month, I'm sitting here again in weakness. I got my knee replaced. I don't know what he's doing, but or what he's cooking. You know, Jesus said, my Father is always cooking. Sometimes we don't like what he cooks. You know, you give asparagus or green things to your children, they're like, yeah, I don't want to eat that. You say it's good for you. Like, no, I don't want to eat this. I want to eat chips. You know? M&M's. Certain color. Same thing in the spirit. Sometimes the Lord gives us asparagus. You're like, I don't like this. I don't like what you cooked. I thought you were a good cook. Right? He's amazing. Father is amazing. Again, I'm sitting here in weakness before you guys, and let's see what comes out. Pastor Matt said something about heart transplant. You know, you get a new heart when you give your heart to Jesus. I got knee replacement, and I was sitting there. I said, of course, it makes sense when you give your heart to Jesus, he will replace your heart, and he gives you another heart. He will give you the heart of compassion, but the heart is brand new. You know, it's like you don't know what to do with this heart. And we have to learn new things, you know. I'm learning how to really walk with this artificial knee here. Same thing when you give your heart to the Lord. He will teach you how to use what he just gave it to you. He will give you a new set of eyes. When I say you, me too. And then you don't know what to do with the eyes. I was a Muslim when I got my my heart kissed by Jesus. I just heard that. I wanted to say when I got saved, but I heard the Lord said, when I kissed your heart. When I got my heart kissed by Jesus, wow, I never heard that before. Maybe it's through that kiss that he gives you a new heart. I started to hear. I was a Muslim. I would go back and share my testimony. I started to hear. You know, because he gave me a new set of ear, right? I started to hear, but I didn't know what to do. It was a brand new, like, you know, you go to a car dealership, you get a brand new car. It has 1 mile mileage. It just, you know, it's just 1 mile. And this was just so brand new. I didn't know what to do. And I said, maybe this is my imagination. Maybe this is not Jesus talking. And then I had some Christian friends. They would say, hey, read the Bible. He said, my sheep, they know my voice. And I thought, okay, now I'm his sheep. I can completely hear his voice. Mm-mm. It's been 24 years. still hearing his voice, still learning his ways. And normally when I speak and share my testimony, normally the anointing comes, but that night it didn't come. And later on he told me, he said, because it was very shameful to stand here and not to be able to really speak. And I felt that he said, I released you from your shame that night. I delivered you. You would say, couldn't you do it in an easier way? You had to do in front of all these people? All men, they came to see a strong man who saw Jesus many times. And look what he has to say, and nothing would come out. I started to panic, but I felt the Lord was showing me, I'm here, don't panic, even if you don't feel me. I am here. See, when you give your heart to Jesus, you guys all know this. This is coming to me and I'm speaking. When you give your heart to Jesus, every day is an adventure. I used to think that, okay, now that I know this Jesus, I can learn his ways. I could just always guess what he's going to do next. See? They're like, ha ha, sure, good luck. How can you guess a mystery? Big part of gospel, or big part of walking with this God, the way I understand it, it's a mysterious walk with this Jesus. That's why we need to have faith. It's just a mystery. He will reveal something to you. You will say, but what your awe will lead to another mystery. You know, it's amazing. You get addicted to this Jesus. Sometimes he says things that you don't understand. Us, we don't understand. When he told his disciples, eat my flesh, drink my blood, they're like, are we cannibal? We're Jewish. What are you talking about? Then he said, do you want to leave? Because what he said, it was so mysterious, almost like dark. They couldn't understand. Like, he said, do you want to leave? Because 5,000 left. They said, no, you have the word of life. Meaning, what you say, I don't understand it, but I can feel life coming from it. Where do I go? Right? Long time ago, my brother was sick. The Lord said, I was praying about my brother. Extreme diabetes, neuropathy, you know. And his eyes started to go back, bad. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, my brother. He said, you take care of my brothers, I take care of yours. Fast forward 15 years, my brothers, both legs got amputated. Mystery. Mystery. If you do not walk with him close enough, we would just judge him. He said, I will take care of your brother. And immediately I thought, his natural eyes will get healed. His natural leg will be okay. But if we had the Lord standing here, and ask him some question. Father, are you more concerned about my flesh and blood or about my spirit and my soul? What do you think he would say? He would say, your spirit and your soul. And I want to work in your spirit. My brother, to me, the way I see it, he's a flag on earth. He doesn't have ministry. He doesn't have two legs. But the Lord showed me, he walks with me, with no leg. Go figure that out. Gospel is supposed to be good news, right? Yes. These are all good news, because it's true. Let's read the Bible. All the agony that all the disciples and apostles, they went through. But the Lord was always there. To me, as long as he is with me, it's fine. As long as he is with us, which he is. I'm just learning to walk with this mysterious Jesus and not to judge him because he doesn't do things the way I want him to do. Right? I have a friend, Muslim friend who got saved in Iran, and he had a home group. But it's illegal to have home group in Iran or any churches. And the government came at night to arrest him. and he jumped out the window, and for a whole year, he disappeared. But that same night, his boy got attacked, and later on, they took him to hospital, and the doctor said he has autism. Fast forward, now he lives in Turkey with his boy that has autism, wants to go to America, come to America or to Canada, but no answer yet. He said, Cameron, one night, I went to this cemetery in Turkey. Again, I wish I would just give you guys all this good news, but it's just coming to me and I have to tell you. Is that okay? He said, I went to this cemetery. They don't have any money. They have almost nothing, but they live with miracle. And the Lord is always with them. When I say they don't have anything, I mean house and a car and the money stuff. But you want to talk to these people because they are full of God. He said, I went to this cemetery at night and I just cried out because of his son. Cried out to God. And you know, he said, you know what the father told me? I said, what? He said, Father God said to me, I want you to forgive me. And I'm like, oh my God, this is not biblical. God doesn't ask for forgiveness. He doesn't need to ask for forgiveness, right? He forgives. And my whole mind is like, God asking for forgiveness in the days that Jesus were here, no master, no Pharisee, no master would wash the feet of the disciple, but Jesus did. No master or no teacher will die for his student, but Jesus did. There are so many false gods in this planet, which we call principalities. Only one had the courage to come to earth and suffer for us. There are things that he does and says that we say, oh no, he would never say those things, right? Mystery. We are talking about God right now. We are not talking about how he's going to bless our life. Those things are good, but today we're just talking about him. It's not about us, if we could do that. Because when you have children, it's all about them. I have two nieces. I have two niece and nephew, 8 years old. Life is about them. Really. Life is just about them. Sometimes I want to say, can you just come and stand here? Or I squeeze you and hug you for 10 seconds? 10 seconds is too much. Life is about them. We are the children of God. God loves us so much, but maybe we could just give him maybe 20 minutes. And just say, Father, it's about you now. We wanted to see how do you feel? God forbid me asking, how do you feel? How are you doing? Do you think he would say it's not your business? No, he would say, oh, finally. Somebody asking me, how am I doing? Right? One time, I wanted to be so smart. I said, Father, what is the desires of your heart? Like, hey, I'm maybe the first one I ever asked him, what is the desires of your heart? Not that I could fulfill it, but I could ask. I said, what's the desires of your heart? You know what he said? He said, you are, may you be fulfilled. I'm like, oh, Father. Thank you, Jesus. I feel anointed in this moment. Really, I feel anointing. Father. Okay, let's go back to the refugee. He goes and he screams and yells, which God really waits for that because that's the moment of honesty. Before that, he tried to be a good Christian. He tried to hush. In that moment, he was naked before God and all his feeling and all his emotion and all his pain, he said like, and God saw him and was pleased. And Father said, I want you to forgive me for not becoming a father that you want me to become. I cannot change for you. And my friend, his name is Muhammad, he said, I got so much peace. after he said that, because he understood. Even if the Lord himself comes and stand in front of him and explain everything, he's not going to understand. He's not going to understand. Like Jesus telling his disciples, eat my flesh. Or Jesus telling me, you take care of my brothers, I take care of yours. Okay, now let's go back. When my brother gave his heart to the Lord, all my family Muslims, I was the first one, then came my brother. I will share some of my part of my testimony. When my brother came in, I always tried to be a good boy, create peace, no conflict as a Muslim, friend of the poor and needy, and kind of pleaser. You know, I just wanted always everything to be okay. To a degree, I'm kind of still like that, like everything has to be okay. My brother was the opposite. He was a troublemaker, right? I'm a good boy, and I do 5-time prayer of the day. He never prayed the Muslim prayer, ever. Not interested at all. Fast forward, I met Jesus. He kissed my heart, boom. And then I tell him over the phone in Iran. He gets arrested one time because we talk about Jesus over the phone. Anyway, he gets released. Signed some document that I will never talk about Jesus. Otherwise, they said, we will kill you and your wife, right? And they will do it. And miraculously, he got visa. That was a miracle, 2006. He came to America. And we prayed for him. Rick prayed for him. And he would close his eyes. The guy that was not religious at all, he would close his eyes and the Lord would take him to heaven. And he would see the movie, 3D movie, because his eyes in natural, he's not able to see that good. But when he would close his eyes, then he would see 3D movie of heaven. He had so many stories. We recorded all of them. It's only grace of God. He wasn't even pursuing God. It's a gift. We were talking about everything is a gift, right? It's a gift. And my brother told me like a couple of months ago, he said, Cameron, I just remembered one of those visions that I had in 2006. He said, I saw myself in heaven. My whole body was hollow. And Father came and he had this melted gold. And he said, he poured gold from here. And he went and went and went under my knees. Gold. He said, the Lord reminded me now, don't worry about your leg. Now it's golden. Mystery. Mystery. You know, sometimes when I hear only God is good, it really hurts me. Because we say God is good according to our own goodness. Oh yeah, if you're good, you're kind, you always take care of me. But goodness of God is way above us, that it goes to the level of mystery. That's how good he is. He said, my ways are higher than your ways. He didn't say my ways are better than your ways. Higher. I could share a little bit of my testimony. You guys don't know. Maybe I'm crying because my leg is hurting. I'm not going to tell you. It's mystery. My doctor gave me oxycodone for my leg. Today, I didn't take it because I didn't want to speak under the influence of oxycodone. I want to speak to you guys under the influence of anointing. It's a beautiful life. That doesn't mean it's easy life. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. It's the highest calling to walk with this Jesus and be okay with his mysterious ways. It's okay not to understand his ways. But keep getting closer to him and being one of his best friends. And knowing that he has emotion. He is a person. He feels pain. He has desires. He's a father. He's not just a provider for the kids. He's a father. He's way more than a provider. He's way more than a savior. It happened that he saved us. Wonderful. But he's way more than a savior. He's Almighty God, the creator of the universe, full of love. My knee's hurting. No, it's not. Actually, there's no pain. Really, during the worship, all the pain was gone.
Yeah.
Okay. I was about 11 years old in 1978 that Islamic regime took over in Iran, and the whole country, they were Muslims. Now there are millions of Christian underground, but they were Muslims. It was cool to be Muslim those days. I was 11 years old and I started to practice 5 times a day, and I really had this desire to be a good Muslim. I had no idea that salvation is free, grace. I didn't even know the meaning of grace. Never really thought God loves me. I thought whenever I'm a good boy, meaning helping other people, he's pleased with me. But if I'm not, he's very angry and displeased with me. That's how I grew up. Then there was a war between Iran and Iraq. And by the time I was 18, it was one of my biggest desires to go to war and to get killed. Isn't that something? Because, you know, I'm 6'7", and I thought, hey, their sniper could get me. And just then, really, I thought about it. Guys are laughing. I knew I would never be able to kill anybody. I want to go get killed. And that's the honest truth. And the war happened. So many of my friends, they got shot. And because in Iran, when you're 13, you can go to war up to any time you want. And I grew up in that environment, but deep down inside, I always could feel that one day I would become a friend of God. In Islam, there is no friendship with God. It's not offered. But I knew in a very young age, one day I would be a friend of God. My dad had a supermarket. I would always close my eyes in that supermarket when we didn't have anybody. And I could see myself in front of multitude talking about God. I thought I'm going to talk about Allah, right? That's how I grew up. By the time I was 27 years old, I was sick and tired of all this religious duty and no relationship. And I had the conversation with Allah, and I said, he never talked to me, but I was just like, he's the creator. I said, for many years, I gave you my attention, I served you, and I was waiting for you, but you never came, and you never did anything. I am done with you. And I'm going to do whatever I want to do. And I really thought that when I die, he's going to kick me to hell. And I told him, without him being there, but I had to say it, I said, in judgment day, when I come, and if you want to kick me to hell, go ahead and do it, but I will look you in the eye and say, you owe me, because I gave you many years of my life. And my heart was broken. Long story short, ended up in Cyprus to go to American embassy to get visa to come to America. I had high school diploma and no money. They don't allow Iranian to come to America, and they have all the good reasons, you know, just like, you know. And I went to Cyprus to apply for my visa. The day before I went to the embassy, I was sitting in the lobby, and I found a Bible, a Farsi Bible, my own language. And I opened the Bible, and Jesus appeared in my room. Some people say, oh, Jesus appeared to you? I say, yes, he did. Because sometimes you talk to some denomination, they think that those things, they don't happen. And I would say, if Jesus want to appear to anybody, he doesn't need to get my permission. Right? He doesn't. If you want to go to, I don't know, any ice cream shop here and just sit there and just have an ice cream, he doesn't really need to ask the head of Christianity or Pope or anybody. Hey, Pope, by the way, I really like to have ice cream. We have a lot of ice cream in heaven, but the earth, man, they have some franchise. They call it franchise. It's really good. Is that okay for you guys for me to go have ice cream? Can you imagine the Lord is just telling all his angels, I'm going to go and become a human? They're like, should we get some horse for you? The people say, no, I will go inside the body of a human being. All the angels like, body of a human being? You want to be born like one of them? He said, yes. He doesn't need to get permission, right? That was a side note down there. Disclaimer. Very small, written like, the Lord does not need my permission. Wow. I tell people sometimes if I want to just push a little bit. I say, when we go to heaven, if we see the Father God and he wears a blue jean, are you okay with it? People are like, they don't even want to think about it. Blue jean? T-shirt? Who's going to make his blue jean? So he has so many people, you know, he can do it. He could order from China. It's really cheaper. There are many Chinese in heaven, you know. Really. It's one of the biggest underground church. Just say, hey, everybody has to wear blue jean. Like, when I was in Iran, my dad would always take us to this haircut place, and they had one of those things, and it would just pull your hair, and we would beg him, number 8. He would say, no, number 2. In heaven, is there a dress code? Some of us that we lost a lot of hair. I'm sure he's going to give us really good hair. But how long our hair can be? You would say, no, Cameron. He's going to have robe. Everybody in heaven would wear robes, right? I'm just saying, just to get ourselves a little bit free to allow him to be him. Does that make sense? And I go there, and Jesus comes out of the Bible, and he stands there. By the way, he speaks Farsi. I didn't know. You think he always speaks English? That's not even his first language. Can you imagine? I mean, he got Rosetta Stone, I'm sure. He had a lot of time to exercise, and, you know. And can you imagine Jesus speaking Vietnamese or Chinese? You're like, Jesus, that's weird. See, he's a person. Do you think when we laugh, he laughs, or he's like trying not to laugh? I'm not laughing. Not laughing. Not laughing. How did we learn to do belly laughter? From him. How did we learn to dance? From him. How did we learn fashion? Look at the butterflies and the flowers. Him. Technology. iPad, iPhone, great I am. Him. Long time ago. He gave the idea long time ago. Do you think you can tell him a joke and he would laugh? You would say, no, he already knows my joke. But no, there's a scripture. He said, when I forgive, I forget. He is able to forget things. Just say, okay, tell me the joke. I would laugh. The angel would say, you already heard this. He would say, I forgot. We are making him a little bit more personal. I'm keep doing this as like he's standing. Why not? If he wants to stand here, he doesn't. Right? And he appeared, he spoke Farsi. He said, I will try, not try, no. I will help you. That's amazing. I will try to do this. He doesn't try to do things. He does it. Sometimes we say, try harder. Last time it didn't work. Right? He said, wait. I hate waiting. Wait. I don't like waiting. Wait. You just promised something. He said, wait. Underneath, he would say, at least 20 years. But you don't see that part. You just say, wait. Abraham, I'm going to give you a son. When? Then he will tell a joke, and then he will disappear. You're like, he didn't tell me when. The disciples say, when everything is going to be okay and you're going to overthrow all these things, when you can overthrow the government, and when are you coming back? He said, my Father knows. My Father knows. Anyway, I go to the embassy of United States. They stamp my passport the next day. I always say to people, if you really need to get visa, go to Cyprus. Jesus knows some people in the embassy. But the thing is, he's not staying there anymore. He's just the guy. Move. He can move. He can move. And he doesn't do one thing twice. He's amazing. He's amazing. And I got my visa, came to United States, read the Bible, Bible made me very angry because I heard that Christian people, they corrupted the Bible. That's why Muhammad had to come with new book. It made sense to me. After 3 days of reading the Bible, when it got to a place that said, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, I had it. I said, these Christians, they're saying a prophet is God. I cannot do this anymore. I threw the book to the corner of the wall, and Jesus came in, smacked me so hard. He didn't. He's patient. And 3 years later, he could appear to me. He didn't. When I was 30 years old, he appeared to me. When I was 33 years old, he kissed my heart. And then I met some Christians. They told me about the love of God, which made me very angry. I said, God is not love. They said, God is love. And they told me about the blood of Jesus, which didn't make sense to me because as a Muslim, blood makes you unclean. I remember I prayed this prayer with one of those wonderful Christians. They never pushed me. They told me about the salvation prayer. I said, I don't want to pray this salvation prayer, but can I pray with my own language in my own way? They said, yes. I remember exactly what I prayed. It's very offensive. I said, Jesus, I don't believe you're the Son of God, but if you are, I give you my heart. Then I said, Jesus, I don't believe your blood has any power to forgive my sin. If there is any forgiveness through your blood, please wash all my sins away. Then the third part of the prayer was the most important for me. I said, Jesus, if you can build a relationship between my heart and the heart of the Creator, which you claim he's your Father, I give you full permission to do anything you want to do with my life. After I prayed that prayer, it's like something touched me right here, and I started weeping. But it was the first time in my life that I wept, but it felt good. It felt like energy jacuzzi, like, hey, this really feels good. It wasn't a miserable cry, like, wow, this is really good. And fast forward, I went to, they invited me to a church, very large church in Atlanta, very conservative, choir, 100 and 150 people. It was my first time to church. I went there and I felt a lot of peace, which I never felt in my whole life. I was so attracted to that peace. I got invited again by my friend. I went there and I felt so much peace. I got invited again. I said to myself, even if these Americans, they didn't invite me, I want to go because there is something there. There is something there. That day I went there and the usher took me to the very first row of the church, 5,000 people, 6, 7 Muslim, look like a Muslim, act like a Muslim, sits in the very first row. And the pastor was preaching here and he was just going back and forth. And after a while, I saw a man standing behind the pastor and he had a rod in his hand, like a shepherd from Middle East. After a while, I said, who is that? A voice inside of me said, it's Jesus. Isa Masih. And I heard another voice that mocked the first one. The other voice said, huh, that's not Jesus you see. You just see stuff. I went with the mocking voice. The moment I went with the mocking voice, Jesus walked and came. I was sitting on the first row and he walked inside my body. And when he walked inside my body, I took a deep breath and he did this, like a lighting a candle. And inside me, it was filled with fire and the Holy Spirit. I didn't know Holy Spirit. I didn't know fire. I didn't know that feeling. But I could feel I'm being hugged and God is kissing me. God, the Creator. You know, and after the service, my friend, they came and I told them about my experience. They said, now, do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? I said, no. I said, why not? Stubborn. I said, he likes it. I said, because now I know that he has power to forgive my sin. I could feel Holy Spirit. But Son of God, if he is, he has to show me himself. It was January 21st, 2000. They took me to another church. When I walked in, I said, is this a church or nightclub? They said, it's a church. I said, why they're singing with guitar and flag and shofar, you know? What is this? They said, it's okay. And I remember I went to a corner of the wall. I said, Jesus, I don't know what these people are doing, but I came here to see you. And at the end of the service, it was Friday night, January 21st, 2000, about 10:30. The meeting went on and on and on and on. I came here for good stuff. The good stuff was prophecy. They told me that there are people that they can hear God's voice. For me, it was the biggest jackpot. Like I won a lottery because since I was 12 years old, I was waiting. And they're saying, there are people, human, they can hear God's voice. And group of people, they started pray over people, and they came to me. I counted. I think I was the eighth person. They came to me, and they took my hand. And one of the ladies said, I tell you, accusing spirit, to lose this man right now. My English wasn't good. I didn't know what the accusing spirit was. But the moment she said, I fell on the floor, and I saw this dark tornado inside me. I started to scream 5 or 6 times like a beast. But it was out, and then with my eyes closed, I saw very far into heaven. I saw Jesus standing in the right side of a very small wooden chair, because I didn't know the Bible. He's standing on the right side of a throne. Can you imagine? You go see the Lord, and he has a small wooden chair. You say, couldn't you afford something bigger? Do we need to call some people here? We can do it. We have some connection. We're in heaven. We allow you to have your blue jean, but this? But it's okay. We let him to be who he is, right? It's okay. I'm sure he's laughing. I hope we could get him belly laugh. Wouldn't that be awesome? Oh, that would be so awesome to get him. Tickle him. He said, God cannot be tickled. He can. I love talking about him. Love talking about him. And I saw him, and I saw a milky spirit. I knew it's a spirit, it's light, but it's milk. Milky spirit came all the way from heaven and bam, touched here. And my whole body knew who Jesus was in that moment. It's like atomic bomb of love went off. And I remember when I stood up, I looked at my fingernails. They were proclaiming who he was. I could feel my eyebrows and eyelashes. They were all proclaiming who Jesus was. And I kept saying, it was you, it was you, it was you all along, it was you. And that was the beginning of my walk with him, 24 years. And then he started to introduce me to the Father. And Father, oh my God. Yeah, Father is the most fun part of Trinity. Don't look at his resume in Old Testament, really. He's amazing. It was him who sent the Son, remember? He's really good. I think that said, love you guys, blessings to you. May the Father have so much fun with you. Yes. May the Father be so comfortable with you. Yes. May the Father feel at home with you, yes, in your heart. You. May Holy Spirit always embrace you. May the blessing of the Lord be over you guys.
Thank you for listening to today's message. For updates on future episodes, make sure to subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review to let us know how we're doing. For more information about Awake Church, visit awakechurch.com.